We are on Nun Vav Amid Aleph in the Schattenstein's 56A, one second column. This is very, I wouldn't say, it's not hard Gemara, this Gemara coming up. It's pretty interesting. Okay, there was an argument before that the Gemara was discussing between Ablazer ben Azayah and the Chachamim, basically in the Mishnah, that when you write Aksuba, okay, so it says, Ablazer ben Azayah says, from the marriage she gets everything. From the Edison she doesn't get all the additional Ksuba stuff. She only gets the 100 and the 200. And the Chachamim say that no, even if it's from the Edison, the guy died or divorced her, she still gets the full Ksuba from the... And the Gemara, at the end, we learned last week, the Gemara ruled, the Halacha is like Ablazer ben Azayah. That before you get married, she doesn't get the full ksuba, only the 100 and 200, but not all the other benefits from the ksuba. Okay. I'd say 15. 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17. Okay, this Gemara we just started last time, but we didn't get anywhere with it. Okay, Bayi Rabin asked the question. So, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah, which is Halacha, once she gets married, everybody says she gets the whole ksuba. The whole, you know, package of the ksuba. So now the question is, what happens, nivala, nichnasa l'chupa, they got married, they had a chupa, v'lei nivala, and she didn't have a chance to consummate the marriage, and the husband died and divorced her. Mahu, does she get the whole ksuba or not? Okay, what's the question? The Gemara explains. Do we say chibes chupa kaina? What makes her get the whole ksuba is a chupa, and the fact is there was a chupa, right? Or do we say it's not the chupa? It's the bia, the consummation of the marriage following the chupa, and here it wasn't because the guy died before they consummated the marriage. So the question is, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah or everybody says from the time they get married, she gets the whole ksuba. Does that mean chupa, or after they consummate the marriage, then she gets the whole ksuba? And what's the case, for instance, they had a chupa, before they consummated the marriage, the guy died or divorced her. It was a pretty short marriage. And then she wouldn't get. And the Gemara answers, Toshma, I'll prove it. The Tani Rav Yosef learned in a braisa like this. This braisa explains Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah's opinion. Why does Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah say until they get married, she doesn't get the full ksuba? Because he wrote it on chibas laila harishin. Okay, the Braisa uses the word, the Mishnah uses the word chupa. But the Braisa explains what does chupa mean? Chibas laila harishin. The enjoyment of the first night. So, amid bishleim chibas chupa kaina. If you're going to tell me that it's chupa, that's why it says Laila Harishin, the first night. Right? But if it's Chibas Bia Kaina, if you tell me it's because of the consummation of the marriage, Bias Laila Harishin Isa Mikamei Lechlasa. And the Gemara asks a very simple question. Sometimes it just doesn't come out that relations the first night. For whatever reason it is. Soon the Gemara is going to ask a question. If she became need, then they couldn't. But right now the Gemara, the Braisa says like this. Rav Yosef says, what is, the Braisa defines what chupa is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah. And it says, what is chupa? Chibas laila harishin. The love of the first night. So the Gemara says that can only mean chupa. Because chupa, you have that night. Bia doesn't necessarily have to be that night. Like the Gemara says, you think it only happens the first day and not afterwards? Certainly not. You can have a case that he couldn't be together for whatever reason it is. So the Gemara answers back, Vela my chupa, would he tell me at chupa? So the Gemara says, chupa balayla isa be your mama lesser. Why does it say night? You can't make a chupa during the day. In other words, the Gemara is saying, if you're nitpicking with the expression of the Braisa, that the Braisa says, Laila harishin, must mean the first night, not any night. The first night, which could only mean chupa, because sometimes relations they don't have. So the Gemara nitpits back. So you tell me it says Laila Harishin can't mean chupa either. Why you can't have chupa during the day? So the Gemara asks back, Ula Tameich, Bia Balaila Isa Bi Yibama Lesa? You think you can only have relations at night, not during the day? Hamed Rava said, if it was a very dark room, in other words, like this, the Gemara says you shouldn't have relations during the day. But if, whatever, there's a strong reason to have it, so if the room is darkened, you're allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, so you can have beer during the day also. Again, what does Laila mean? So the Gemara says like this, Halav Kusha, that's not a question. Why isn't it a question? Erech Adek Kumashma, it speaks normal. Beer Balaila, normally, intimacy is at night. El Chuppah Kashi, because there's nothing such thing as Chuppah only by night. Most people make a Chuppah during the day. So how can you say Laila Rishim would mean a chuppah when chuppahs are during the day also? So he says chuppah namik lekasha. It's also not a question. Why? Ki even the stam chuppah lebiya kaima, because what's the purpose of chuppah? To consummate the marriage and have relations. Or the chanukah mashmon de belaila. So most of the time it happens at night. In other words, the marriage basically says we still don't have a proof to the question Rabin asked. Rabin asked, is it the wedding night that does it? Or is it Bia that does it? And by the way, the Gemara doesn't answer this question. This question is not answered. No, I'm sorry. So the Gemara answers, no, that it means Taka Chuppah. The Gemara means, because Chuppah, most of the time is refers to at night. So the Gemara is, according to the way the Mefarshim explain it, the answer to the question of Rabin is, does Chuppah do it, or Bia do it? The Gemara's answer is, Chuppah does it. As soon as they have Chuppah, that's it. Okay, next is like this. Boy Ravashi, Nichnas Lachupa. Gemara takes it a step further. Until now, the question was: the guy got married and died before they consummated the marriage. Is that called married that she gets the whole ksuba or not? Now the Gemara says like this: what happens? Nichnas Lachupa, and here we'll see Machlekes and Rashi and others what it means. But Nichnas Lachupa, what happens? She got married, upirs a nida, and then she became a nida before they were able to be together. Now, what's the question? Intim Suleimar Chibes Chuppah Kaina, right? If you're going to say it means Chuppah, but what type of Chuppah? Maybe it means Chuppah de Chazi Lebiya. A Chuppah that's fit to have relations. Aval Chuppah de Lechazi Lebiya, like, it's a very simple Gemara here. Gemara says like this. The first case is, a guy had Chuppah, before they were together he died. But when they had the chuppah, they were allowed to be together. Right? They were allowed. He didn't, but they were allowed to be. It was fit to have relations. But if she became a nida right before the chuppah, like some Rishonim learn, like Rashi says, right after the chuppah, where they became, during the chuppah, she became nida, so then the chuppah wasn't able to have relations already. So it's not a real chuppah. So maybe this case would be different. In other words, by the other case, we said, going into the chuppah, even if the guy died before they were together, she's still going to get the whole ksubah, because it was a chuppah that they could have been together. They didn't, but they could have been. Right? Here the question takes it a step further. Here the problem is, they couldn't be together from the chuppah because she became nida. So now the question is, there's no difference. And the Gemara answers, but we don't know. By the way, so what's the din if when the Gemara says teiku? Does she get it? Does she get it? So the rule in Poskim, like in this case, would be she doesn't get it. She wouldn't get it.
You go machmir?
No, not machmir. It's very simple. She wants to take money from the estate for ksuba. Yeah? Now the Gemara says it's a doubt. We don't know, teiku. We don't know, does she get it or doesn't she get it? Right? So what do you do when there's a monetary doubt? You keep the money where it was. She wants to take money from the kids, right, for the ksuba. But the Gemara says, does she get it, doesn't she? We don't know if she gets it or not. So what do? Where do you keep the money? You keep the money where it was.
She can't get it.
She can't get it.
So that's not machmir, no? That's not
machmir. It's not machmir. Machmir for whom? For the kids you make, they don't have to pay it. The rule is like this. Whenever the Gemara says take, even though the Gemara doesn't answer the question, so what do you do in the pearl? Bottom line, what do you do? So the rule is like this. If it's a biblical issue, you go stricter. Right? If you're allowed to do something. If it's a rabbinic issue, and the Gemara answers, we don't know, you go lenient. Anytime it's a monetary teiku, so then the din is, you keep the money where it is, because you can't extract money on a doubt. Maybe the halacha is she gets it, maybe the halacha is she doesn't get it. So it's a doubt. On a doubt, you can't extract money.
There won't be any of their inheritors, because they may not have children yet.
It doesn't matter. No, not... She gets it from the husband's estate, whether he has the other kids or...
Or
it could be that he had other kids from different wife.
But forget this case. In regular case, when someone actually is married, is when they go under chuppah or when they have a bia?
Well, the Gemara's answer was chuppah, doesn't it?
No, in general, not to get the money. But if people not get noticed, they were getting married. When is actually nisuin, it's like official nisuin.
Chuppah.
Not bia.
If they're able to have bia, though.
So why should we different
that? No, but it has to be a chuppah that's fit to have bia. It has to be a chuppah that's fit to have bia. But if she became nida, then it's not. Much. I'll give you an example. By an almona, yeah, it says, you should make the chuppah only when she's tahora. That they can have relations afterwards. By a psula, not necessarily. Because by Sula, Bia is not that important for the wedding, as an Amana, the Kenyan, is, that's why you have Yichud. Yeah. After the, by Sfardim, they do it under the Chuppah, they wrap themselves in the Talis. That's the Yichud that Sfardim do. By Ashkenazim, you actually go into a room, alone. But the Gemara is saying it has to be Chuppah, in other words, the Gemara says it's Suffolk. If it's Chuppah that's not fit to be because she became Nida, so because the Gemara says take, we don't know, so then you leave the money where it is. The Masha we learned, remember we learned in the Gemara before, if a Naira Murasa commits adultery, she gets Skila. Right? If it's Eishas Ish, married, she gets Chenek. Remember we learned that in the Gemara. It's stricter by Kedushin than it is by wedding, because Skila is stricter than Chenek. So, La Locha, what happens if a woman got married? That Kedushin, she got a chuppah, yeah? And before they were together, she committed adultery. Great way to start a marriage. What punishment would she get? She would get chenek, because she's married. Here the Gemara is asking, what's the concept of the money? When he wrote the extra stuff in the Ksuba, what did he think? Okay, then the Mishnah continued and said, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says like this, if a guy wants, he can write for a ksuba 200 zuz, because the Mishnah said before, if it's a psula less than 200, or a mona less than 100, it's not a valid ksuba. That's what the Mishnah said at the beginning of the Perek. Okay? Here, Rav Meir says, "Kol apeches the psulim mersayim, ul amana mana is bilas nus." Okay, so Rav Meir says you have to write 200 and 100. There's no way out. Rav Yehuda said in that Mishnah, "No, there's a way out. He could write for the psula 200, and she could write him a receipt that she got 100 already. Then he'll only have to pay her 100." Okay, that's what the Buddha said in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, the Savar Abuda, the case in Shevet, what does it say in the Mishnah? The Buddha says, they write 200 in the Ksuba, and then the woman writes to the husband, I received already 100. Yeah, that's like a receipt. But the Gemara says, the Savar Rabbi Yehuda case in Shaver, does Rabbi Yehuda write when a loan is partially paid? You write a receipt? But Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, not like that. And this is a very interesting argument of human nature. Misha Pora mixes Cheve. Okay? Let's discuss this then outside. I have a document that you owe me $1,000. Yeah? You owe me $1,000. Then you go and pay me $500. Okay? Now, we need some type of proof. I mean, otherwise I can come with the document again and collect another $1,000. Right? Okay, so what proof do we do that you paid me $500?
Receipt.
So one way of doing it is, they write you a receipt that you paid $500. Right? Then if I ever take out the document again that you owe me $1,000, you're gonna take out the receipt, and then it says you paid already $500, correct? Or another way of doing it is, they write a new loan document for $500. They rip up this one, and they write a new document for $500. Now, what's the difference? Well, who cares? So the difference is very simple.
If you lose the receipt.
If you write a receipt, that means you have a problem to make sure you don't lose the receipt. Right? I still have the document that says you owe me $1,000. You have a receipt that you paid $500. So if you lose it, you're stuck, right? So you have a yoke on your head. Yeah, you have a yoke on your head. You have pressure on your head to make sure you don't lose the receipt, right? So whose headache is it? Yours.
He also, no? If you lose the $1,000, no?
Yeah, but I'm gonna have to watch it anyway. Whether it's $1,500, I still have to guard the document, right?
You want to collect something.
If I want to collect something, whether it's $1,000 or $500, I still have to guard the document, correct? But like this, you don't have to guard anything. And now you have to guard $500. But if they rewrite the document that you only owe me $500, okay, then I have the same burden as before, but you don't have a burden, right? So the question is, what do you do? So we'll see. So one opinion says you don't write receipts. We don't want to burden the borrower, yeah, to make sure he guards his receipt, because the lender has to guard the paper anyway. And one opinion says, no, you write a receipt. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda say in our Mishnah? If the guy wants, he could write $200 ksuba for the girl, and then the girl writes
a receipt
for $100. So who has to guard the receipt now? The husband. Because otherwise the wife will come and collect the whole ksuba, right? So Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, you write a receipt, which implies that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, you don't write a new document, you just write a receipt. Yeah? But the Gemara says, but that's not what Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah. It says, the case in Sheva, you're going to say Rabbi Yehuda holds that you write the receipt. But Tanan, it's not what it says in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Misha Pada Mixes Chevei, if a guy pays back half the debt, right? So what do you do to make sure the guy can't recollect the whole debt? Rabbi Yehuda Emer Yachlif. Rabbi Yehuda says, you exchange the original document for a new one. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say you write a receipt. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? You rewrite a new document, right? Rabbi Yehuda says, Yichtev lo shever. That you write the shever. So that's the opposite. Here our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says she writes a receipt. Right? And that Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't write a receipt. You rewrite the new document. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what should they be doing in our Mishnah? Rewriting a nuksuba. Right? So Gemara answers no. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Sheveris Mitecha. You don't write a receipt. in the ksuba itself, you write paid 500. I mean 50%. So then the husband doesn't have to guard anything. The woman has the ksuba.
Hi. Sorry I'm late.
It's okay. At least you came. The woman, who keeps the ksuba?
The woman.
The woman has to hold the ksuba, right? So, if Rabbi Yehuda says you write a receipt, that means the husband has to worry with a receipt now. Right? So, Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't write receipts. Because we don't want to bother the borrower. So Gemara says, you don't write a new receipt. What you do is, in the ksuba itself, that the woman anyway has to hold, you write, paid 50%.
You can write on
ksuba? Yeah, you write in the ksuba, they're paid 50%. Right. And you sign it with witnesses.
Who writes it?
Whoever.
Don't they do the same thing sometimes on loan documents, though, too? If it's a partial payment?
You could do it on partial loan documents also. Obviously, you need two witnesses to sign on it because just because the guy said doesn't mean anything.
The husband died, yeah?
Huh?
The husband died, yeah.
So now the husband died. So the woman's taking out the ksuba. But what does it say in the ksuba?
200.
No. Now it says, though, that they paid 100.
Right.
So the husband doesn't have to watch anything anymore.
Husband is dead.
The Yorshim, the kids, whatever. You're right.
The estate.
No, if he divorces her. Either he divorces her, then he's alive, or the kids, whatever, the estate. That's what the Rabbi Yirmiyah says. So Abaye says no. Abaye answers, there's a difference between ksuba and a loan. By a loan, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't write a shaver, a receipt. And by ksuba, Rabbi Yehuda holds you do write a shaver. Why? What's the difference? You can even say it's speaking a case when the receipt is not in the document. What's the case? Over there it's like this. Bishle mahasim vadi pare. Of a case, okay, for sure the guy actually repaid half the debt. We know that's the case over there. He paid half the debt. So what are we afraid? The Rabbi Yehuda says you don't write a receipt. Why? Dilma mirchas tavarta. Maybe the guy will lose the receipt. Right? The borrower paid half will lose the receipt. Umapakalishtar, the lender will produce the document that says 1,000. For the governor, Zimnachrini, he's gonna have to collect a second time. He'll be able to. Okay? Hocha, vade, yoivla. Here, the husband didn't give her half the ksuba. Mosibamri hidomali. She only said it to him. Meaning like this. It's a very simple, this very logical, simple difference between ksuba and loan payment. I have a document, you owe me $1,000. Right? When you pay me the 1,500, you paid me. We know. There's no question that you paid it, right? So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, he for sure paid half. If you're going to write a receipt that he paid half, so it's going to be the burden of you to keep the receipt, right? This is a burden. So for there, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. That's too much bother for you. So you know what? We rewrite the new loan document for 500 instead of 1,000. What's the case by the ksuba? She didn't pay him anything. He says, I owe you $200. Ksuba. What are you basically saying to the wife? I owe you 200 zuz. Right? She says, okay, I'll consider it as if you paid me half already. Did she? She didn't pay anything yet. Right? When they got married, he writes in the ksuba, really, it's 200, but you, and she writes, she said verbally, it's considered as if I paid you half. I mean, if you paid me half, right? Did she pay half? She didn't pay anything yet. She never got the ksuba to pay. Right? So over there,
Did he pay half?
He didn't pay her half. She says, I'll consider it as if you paid me half. Meaning, I only need a ksuba of 100, not 200. Because the Gemara says, you must write a virgin ksuba 200. Right? Anything less than that is not kosher. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? If you want, yeah, you have to write 200 to make it a kosher ksuba. But she has a right to say, I consider it as if you already paid me half. But he didn't pay her half yet. Right? He didn't pay her half.
So I need witnesses for her?
So Rabbi Yehuda says, no. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in that case, you do write a receipt. Because she didn't actually pay him half. She said, it's considered as if I got half of the ksuba. So if the husband wants to pay back half only, let him guard it. Let him watch the shaver. Because we're not losing anything by it. It's just words that she said. By the monetary thing, when he has a document, you owe me $1,000. And the guy paid $500. He paid back half the debt. Right? He actually paid the money. So how much money does he really owe him? 500. So you don't want to burden the guy to keep the receipt. So you refix the document that is 500. But Exuma, she never got the money. It wasn't that the husband actually paid her half. It's verbal. She said, it's like you paid me half. So if you really trust that, let him hold on to the receipt. If he loses it, he loses it because she never really did get paid. What's the big thing? Where's the capital? He'll pay the whole thing. So what's the problem? She never got half. He said she never got the half of the ksuba. She said, I'll consider it as if I got it. Okay, so if he holds on to the receipt, she'll only get half. If he doesn't hold on to the receipt, she'll get, is there a crime if she gets the whole ksuba? No. But by the $1,000 debt, if the guy was only supposed to get $500 because he paid $500 and he collects $1,000, that's a crime. So Abaye says there's a big difference between ksuba and debt. So by debt, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't write a shaver because it's burdensome on the borrower to watch to keep the receipt. But ksuba, it doesn't matter. The Gemara says, Hocha vada yoivla. Did he actually give her partial payment? Not at all. Mil sabamin hidamalei. She just said verbally to him, it's like I got half. So therefore, when you write a receipt, Rabbi Yehuda says, if he watches it good, if he doesn't, then the husband is losing himself. It's his own fault. It's like, if the lender doesn't guard the document, yeah? He's hurting himself. Right, because then he can't collect. He's not hurting anybody else. He's hurting himself. So the same thing over here. If the husband wants to get out of paying half the ksuba because the woman verbally said, I'll consider it as if I got a half, so let him watch the document. If he doesn't watch the document, he deserves to pay the whole thing. So Gemara says, so there's two answers in the Gemara. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, you write the shaver in the ksuba. So again, the man doesn't have to watch anything, right? And Abaye says, no, you don't, you could write a separate shaver, it doesn't matter. So Gemara says like this, Bishlam Abaye Lamek Rabbi Yirmiyah. I understand why Abaye doesn't say like Rabbi Yirmiyah, because when Rabbi Yehuda says you write a shaver, Rabbi Yehuda says you write a shaver, he doesn't say you write it in the ksuba. He says you write the receipt, which means a separate piece of paper. Why didn't the Rabbi Yirmiyah hold a kabaya that you write a receipt and let the husband worry about it? So the Gemara says, very simple. We don't want to mix up receipts. He says, you're right, there should be a difference between ksuba and money, but we don't want to differentiate between ksuba receipt and money receipt, so we always say, write it in the ksuba. That's all.
The woman sign the ketubah if they put this in it, or just the two witnesses that hear her say that, or
what?
If she says,
yeah, because otherwise you can't. Or she writes the receipt, or she writes it. Listen, if I write an IOU that I owe you $1,000 in my handwriting, I write you a document. I owe you $1,000. Do you need witnesses?
No.
What do you need witnesses for? He had stronger than witnesses. If I say, I owe you $1,000, and two witnesses say, no, you don't, what's the din? Hadar's ba din, kamei edim, but the Gemara says it doesn't mean they can't read witnesses. It's better than witnesses. So if I say, I owe $1,000 because I didn't pay back the loan, and two witnesses testify I paid back the loan, and I say, no, I didn't.
You believe?
Why? I, two witnesses say I did.
Except for criminal cases, right?
Okay, well, there's only a money. Monetary, why I admit. And the Achreinen, the Ksos, there's a lot of Mepharshim that discuss why is a guy stronger than witnesses. V'cheira, the strongest thing in the world is witnesses.
So what's the rule?
The answer is, yeah, granted, the witnesses are right. But I can obligate myself again. I'm obligating myself again. It's one of the answers.
What, I'm obligating myself again?
You can give a gift.
Say, I want to give
I say I owe you $1,000. Witnesses say I don't. Okay, so you believe the witnesses. So I still can't give you a gift of $1,000? Because don't do it.
What's the din? You go by the witnesses or by the...
No, if a guy admits, not guilt or anything like that.
Just money.
If I obligate myself money, even if witnesses testify I don't owe it,
The obligation stays.
So if I have an IOU note, unless if I come later and say it's forged, okay? But if I write an IOU note and sign my name on it, and it's my signature, yeah? It's, you don't need witnesses on the document. No one need. My signature is better than witnesses. Okay, now, Reb Yudin in the Mishnah, the din we just said, what does Reb Yudin say? She has to write the receipt, yeah? What happens if she just orally says it, there's no receipt?
It's not good Gemara music.
It's not. And they're offbeat anyway.
It's so loud.
Time at exceedingly. The Gemara says the only reason why the reduction takes effect because she wrote the receipt. Whether in the ksuba, out of the ksuba, whatever. Ava alpeh, but if it only be, if she waived part of the ksuba only orally, it wouldn't be, amai. It's davar shebamaminu. It's a monetary thing. The Gemara, it says like this, from the Mishnah it implies that if she wrote the receipt, that means it was written, then the ksuba is reduced. If she just said it orally, you can make an oral condition for money. That's what it seems to imply in the Mishnah, right? Because Mishnah says, she writes that I got 50%. Or it's like I got 50%. But if she just said it orally, so B'Gemara says, why? Darvish Shibamamin, who, it's a monetary matter, the Shamin and Leila Rabbi Yehuda, we heard in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that Darvish Shibamamin, Tanoi Kayim. In monetary issues, verbal stipulation goes even against the Torah. And the Gemara is going to say, it's a very interesting halacha. The Tanya says like this, Ha'emer li'isha re'at mukdashesli. A guy says to a, you know, when the guy marries a woman, the Torah says there's three marital obligations. She'era, ksusa, va'inasa lo'yigra. Okay, when a husband marries a woman, the Torah says there's three obligations. She'era is food, ksusa is clothing, einasa is marital relations. These are the three obligations a husband has to his wife. Food, clothing, and marital relations. Yeah? Now, what happens if a guy comes to a woman and says, okay, I'm marrying you on the condition that I'm not obligated in those three?
So why are you marrying her? Why are you marrying her?
Status.
Huh?
Status.
He says, So the Gemara says there's a rule. Kala masna amashakasa betera tanai bottle. Somebody makes a condition against what the Torah says, it's not a condition.
Sounds like neder is the same thing. I don't put on tefillin, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, because you're going against the Torah.
But
okay?
Can we learn when the woman is rich? We don't have to.
One second. So the first, okay, let's see it inside. The Tanya says in the Braisa like this. Hey, Malisha, guy says to a woman, Hare at Mekudeshesli, you're consecrated to me. Amenash ein lach alai sheik susveinasa. On the condition, I'm not obligated in these things. That means like this. The guy gives her a ring, in front of two witnesses, does the kedushin, and then he says, on the condition, I don't have to do these three things. So the Gemara says, what does the Mishnah say? The Braisa, Hadeizim Mekudeshes, the Kedushin stays, but tonight bottle. But there's no condition. Because you can't make a condition against the Torah. The Torah says, food, clothing, marital relations, you're obligated to do. You can't make a condition against the Torah. Therefore, it's like you didn't make a condition. Therefore, if a guy does kedushin with a woman with no conditions, it's a valid kedushin. He's making a condition. The Torah says you're not allowed to make that condition because you're going against the Torah, right? So therefore, it's no good. But what does Rabbi Yehuda say?
The marriage stays.
V'davar shebamami tnoi kayim. In monetary things, the condition is good. Meaning, he still has to give her marital relations because that's not money, but food and clothing he doesn't have to give her. He's going against the Torah. But in laws, Rabbi Yehuda holds, in monetary laws, you can make a condition against the Torah. The Torah allows to make monetary conditions.
So this is one thing.
Yeah, but the question is, in our Mishnah, the same Rabbi Yehuda that says, you can make monetary conditions against Torah. Now, Torah says, Ksuba's 200. Right? Are you allowed to make a ksuba 100? So Rabbi Yehuda says yes. But only if you wrote it. But in oral condition, it implies to my Mishnah, why does Rabbi Yehuda say he only has to pay her half the ksuba? Because they wrote that it's like I got half. Right? But if it would only be oral, right? If it would be oral, then they wouldn't be able to make such a condition. So Gemara caution is, but Rabbi Yehuda holds by monetary things, you can make a condition against the Torah.
Providing that she agrees that she got the half.
But aren't they supposed to talk about this before they get engaged?
It's no fun then.
Well, you're sitting under the chuppah. You have you stuff.
Well, today you can't do any of this stuff anyway. Today nobody left conditions and nothing get, nothing marriage, you don't have any of these things.
Can a woman borrow from the husband against the kizuba? I know she can't go sell it outside to loan sharks, but...
She could, if the husband agrees. If the husband agrees, why not? What?
She needs a new therapy or something.
Okay. Okay, so now the question is, why by ksuba can it not be done orally? And by money, Rabbi Yehuda says you can make a condition against the Torah. Right? Why ksuba is stricter than kedushin? Okay? So my answer is a very interesting answer. Sabe Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds ksuba is rabbanon. The obligation of ksuba is only rabbinic. If you remember, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, there's an argument, Rashi, Taisis, all the Rishenim over there. Is ksuba biblical or rabbinic?
Oh, I think
the obligation of a husband to the wife, ksuba, is it biblical? So Taisis Paskins, if you remember, earlier in the Perek, in the Masechta, all the way back, Taisis says, Alochi is ksuba is rabbinic. We write the Chozi Lachim Mideraisa. In the Ksuba we write that it's biblical. We're referring to the concept of Ksuba. General concept of Ksuba. So the Yehuda says like this. You know why ksuba is stricter than regular money? Regular kedushin conditions you can make orally. Ksuba, if you want to make a condition, it got to be written. Why? He said, listen to this. He says, ksuba is only rabbinic. And the rabbinic, the rabbis, wanted to give themselves credence, so they made their law stricter than the biblical law. By biblical law of Kedushin, Rabbi Yehuda holds you can make a condition of money, even though it goes against the Torah, and you can do it orally. But Ksuba, because it's rabbinic, over there the Chacham said, no, we're going to be stricter. We want to strengthen the words, and that many times the Chacham make Chizuk L'Divrehim. Gemara says they strengthened the words, they made their law stricter than biblical laws, to make sure that people are going to listen to it. So they said, because Ksuba is rabbinic, you cannot do it orally, it has to be written. But according to this, if Rabbi Yehuda would hold Ksuba is biblical, you would be able to do it oral condition also. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you have to write it in the Ksuba that she got half of the Ksuba? Because it's rabbinic. The Chacham said, here we're going to make you write it, rather than keep it oral. So the Gemara asks you this, but there's a problem with that. There's another rabbinic din, and Rabbi Yehuda also says differently. When a husband, you know, the woman brings in certain properties, it's called Nichtei Melug, brings in properties. So the din is, she owns the land, and the husband eats the fruits of the land. But she keeps the principle of the land. So it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, the husband can even eat the produce of the produce, until the husband writes to her, Dinu dvarim eli benechsecha, ubepeiris perisein. He says, ad eilam forever. What does Rabbi Yehuda say over there? That if one stipulated to, the husband has a right to eat the fruits. Okay? In order to forgo it, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to write it. Okay? He has to write it. So now the Gemara says, the Kaimelon, and yet we explain, what does the Mishnah say? Kaisiv, Omer, he just says it. He doesn't have to write it. In other words, that Mishnah says, the husband has a right to eat the fruits of the wife's fields. Yeah? Unless, if he tells her, I have nothing to do with the fruits of your field. But the Gemara says, they don't have to write it.
Just
say it. He can say it. No, that's if he changes his mind later. He could just say it is good enough. Now, the question is, this, that the husband eats the fruits, is only rabbinic. And by our case, it's so because it's rabbinic, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to actually write it. Saying it is not enough. Why bring fruits to Rabbi Yehuda saying it is enough? He doesn't have to write it. Amar Abaye, Abaye says this. Very simple. Lakol yesh ksuba. Every woman has a ksuba. But not everybody gets fruits. Not every marriage does the wife bring in fields that the husband's gonna eat the fruits. Right? So now, if this is common cases the rabbis deal with. So because ksuba is common, the rabbis want to give power to their words, they say, by ksuba, you have to write it that she got half. But fruits that the husband eats, it's milsin leshchiach le'avde be'rabban chizuk. The Chachamim don't emphasize their things. Meaning like this. This that the rabbis strengthen their dinim is by common things. So therefore, ksuba is common. Every married woman has a ksuba. Right? Therefore, if they want to make a condition in the ksuba, like that she got half, you have to write it. By biblical cases, it's enough saying it. Like by kedushin. Rabbi Yehuda says, if he says, I don't have to feed you or clothe you, it's a good condition. Why by ksuba do you have to write it? because that's rabbinic, and the rabbis want to make the stuff stronger. Why by fruits which is rabbinic, you don't have to write it? Because that's uncommon. In other words, Gemara says, when do rabbis strengthen their laws? By common cases. A ksuba is a common case. Every married woman has a ksuba. So therefore, if you want to make a monetary ksuba condition in the ksuba, the rabbi says, because it's rabbinic ksuba, we're going to make you write it. Fruits are not common. That the wife brings in fields that have fruits and the husband eats it, that's not so common. Because it's not so common, the rabbi said, we keep it on the biblical law, saying a condition is good enough. The Gemara is not done. The Gemara asks another, there's another crazy case. You know, there's something called demai. Demai is grain of an amaretz, but we learned that he's not believed to say I tithed it, right? So the Gemara says like this. There's a case of chamorim. Chamorim are donkey drivers, okay? Which are also rabbinic in common, and the chamorim didn't make a, what's the case like this? The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah like this. Chamorim shenichnasu li'ir. Donkey drivers came into a city loaded with food. V'amar echemehem, and one of them says like this. Shali chodosh, mine were not tithed yet. But shechaveide yoshen, my friends were tithed. Okay? Or he says, Shali ainu masukan. Mine weren't tithed. V'shechaveir masukan, but my friends was. Ainu money, they're not believed.
Did we learn this somewhere else?
We learned this, yeah, about believing on themselves. Yeah, you're right. I don't know, a long time ago. Okay, it's not like this. Two guys come with a donkey, loaded with produce. Yeah, me and you come to a city with a donkey, or two donkeys. I have produce, you have produce. I come along and tell the people, my friends was tithed.
Was what tithed?
Tithed. They separated everything up to 10% and...
Oh, okay.
But mine isn't. Donkey drivers are illiterates, so they're not believed normally. The question is he believed to say that his friend's stuff is kosher? That means ready to eat.
His is not.
He says, mine isn't, but my friend's is.
Maybe they collaborated.
He says, women, ain't among them. They're not believed. Why? No, because I'm afraid they're in cahoots. Right. In this city, I'll say yours is good, mine's not good. Go to the next city, you'll say the opposite. Because you don't believe them. They're illiterates. They're liars. They're not. So the first, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Nemonim. They are believed.
Huh?
Yep.
Tomorrow's is in line Shabbos. Why does he say they are believed?
So Lechay, 1 second. To my, because the Gemara says like this, it's only a doubt, did they separate or not? It's not for sure it's treif. Question, did they separate the tithes or not? So the Gemara says, in Amoris is not believed. But Rabbi Yehuda says, in this case, he's saying about his friend, you believe him? Because only a doubt to begin with. Right? So, but what do you see from there? That's rabbinic, Demai is rabbinic, and Rabbi Yehuda holds they are believed. And it's not common. So the Gemara says like this, I'm sorry, it is common. It is common. And Rabbi Yehuda was lenient that they believed.
Is it doubt on a doubt on it?
So he says like this, Amar Abaye, he says like this, Vadi Devreim, something which is for sure rabbinic, no doubts, then the Chachamim made additional stuff. Safik did Devreim, but if it's only a doubt, like by Demai, right? We just said it's a doubt, did they separate or not? It's not that for sure did, didn't. Or the same thing, Rabbi said, but demai hikilu. In other words, Rabbi says, because demai anyway is a doubt. So in this case, the Chachamim were lenient. So this is what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara is saying like this. The outcome of the Gemara, with the last piece of the Gemara, is like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, in order for the, he has to give it 200. But she can write back a receipt. Right? So first the Gemara says, orally is not good. Why isn't it good? So the Gemara said, because Ksuba is rabbinic. And therefore the Chachamim wanted to strengthen, therefore, so by regular monetary things, like you said, by Kedushin. Right? The guy says to the wife, you are married to me on the condition I don't have to give you food, clothing, and relations. Yeah, so Rav Meir says, forget it. None of those conditions are good because you're going against the Torah. Rav Yehuda says, no, monetary things, you could go against the Torah. You could. Rav Yehuda, you can go monetary conditions against the Torah. So Gemara said, but why over here by Ksuba does she have to write it? And over there, she can, by Kedusha, she can even just say it. So Gemara said, because Ksuba is rabbinic, so the Chachamim, Rav Yehuda, the Chachamim were stricter by rabbinic than they are by biblical. So the Gemara asked, but we find payers that the husband eats are rabbinic, and over there the Chachamim didn't make a chizuk. So the Gemara answers, no, over there was because not everybody has fruit. So this is a common case, the Chachamim was strict, by not common case, not. And then the Gemara asked, by the Gemara's conclusion is like this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can make a condition of monetary laws in the Torah, verbally. Verbally. Okay, you can make, like he said, by Kedushin. Hariyat Mekudash is on the condition, I don't have to give you food or clothing. My daddy's allowed to do. Rav Meir says, no, you can't do that, therefore there's no condition, and the Kedushin is good. Rav Meir says, and you have to give her out all that stuff. Rav Yehuda says, no, by biblical laws, monetary conditions I could do. Okay? But by Ksuba, which is rabbinic, over there you have to write it. Okay? But then the Gemara says, when by rabbinic do you have to write it because the Chum want to make it stricter? That's only in things that are common and things that are definite, not doubts. If it's doubts, then the Chum were more lenient. If it's not common, the Chum were also lenient. So then you keep it the biblical law that you could do it orally. But in a common rabbinic case, Chum said oral conditions are no good. You need to actually write the receipt, either in the ksuba or a separate piece of paper, and then it's a valid condition. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's very interesting. According to the outcome of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says you can make a condition of monetary laws, but sometimes you have to, if it's rabbinic and common, and not a doubt, you have to put it in writing. Otherwise, you can make a condition, even in biblical laws, just orally. Then you're done. Okay, now, okay, we'll leave it here.